You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. And thanks for taking 15 minutes of your Tuesday to tune in today to WGOD Radio, our frequency. We're tuning into where God is broadcasting, and we're going to hear more preaching from the King, that is Jesus Christ, Son of God, as He's doing the preaching today on the Sermon on the Mount. I've never been so shocked as in the time to study this text as a preacher. I've never preached this book from the pulpit on Sunday mornings. I've taught it online. I've taught it on Wednesdays before. I've taught it in Sunday schools before, but never preached from the pulpit. And I'm shocked at how short I fall from this Sermon on the Mount. We're going to hear more on that here coming up in just a minute. If you'd like a copy of this sermon, there's two ways to do it. Write to me, Paul at WMIEFM.com, and I'll mail you one free, naturally. Or you can go to WGODradio.com, click on a link there that says Prior Broadcasts, and you'll find it up there. I've entitled this the Gospel of the Second Mile. Or you can go to my Facebook page, download the sermon on there. You'll see it, same title. Facebook page is WGOD Radio. I'd encourage you to go there and check out that page. Right-click that sermon up there. You can save it to your computer. Gospel of the Second Mile. Well, that's going to do it now for an opening. Let's get in. It's just shocking reading these things. For instance, therefore, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And it's a be ye. It's in the imperative. Or, unless if your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case enter the kingdom. What a shock this must have been to them. Shock to me reading and hearing these things. Let's get into part two now of this message, the Gospel of the Second Mile.
Matthew 5:21, it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old. All right, first of all, he puts it like this, because all of these things were handed down orally by tradition. That's why he said, you have heard that it was said. And he goes on, you have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, not kill. The King James there should read murder, not kill. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry, oops, looks what he just did. He substituted the word angry for murder. Catch that? Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother, some translations say without a cause. Mine does. I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment. Uh-oh. You thought that murder was bad. that your mom and dad taught you around the campfire and that how murder would condemn you. But Jesus says, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will face the same fate. See, he's now increased the guilty from one half of 1% to like 99.5%. My Believer's Bible Commentary makes this observation. It says this. It says, with the words, but I say to you, Jesus institutes an amendment to the teaching on murder. No longer could a person take pride in having never committed murder. Jesus now says, in my kingdom, you must not even have murderous thoughts. He traces the act of murder to its source and warns against three forms of unrighteous anger. That's what we're going to see right here in these few verses here. He goes on, whoever says to his brother, Raca, Raca, will be in danger of the council. Raca, Raca, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It means numbskull or empty head. Something you heard a lot of if you watched Mo Howard growing up. Right? Numbskull. But, he says, whoever says you fool will be in danger of hellfire. Now, not only have I said that, that's one of my favorite sayings. But me using it has a totally different meaning than someone in his day using it. Right, Lord? I hope. See, in Jesus' day, people used the word Raca, Raca, an Aramaic term meaning empty one, as a word of contempt and abuse. Those who use this epithet, those who use this epithet, were in danger of the council. That is, they were subject to trial before the Sanhedrin, the highest court in the land. Finally, to call someone a fool is the third form of unrighteous anger Jesus condemns. Here, the word fool does not mean, or it means more than just a dunce. It signifies a moral fool who ought to be dead. And it expresses the wish that he were dead. That's who he's addressing here. The word fool meant different than a joker on a deck of playing cards, or a jester at a king's court. Words meant different things. But Jesus said the one who utters such a curse is in danger of hell fire. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember, now your gift to the altar, in modern day terms, is putting in something when Ron passes the offering plate around. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the offering plate here, and when it comes around that you remember that your brother's got something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? Don't even waste your time offering a gift to God that won't be accepted by God until you make things right with the person that you're holding a grudge against. Let me encourage you to do that. When you sow gifts here to this ministry, you're giving to God, not to the church. And God says, don't waste your time. I'm not going to accept that. You can read that in countless Old Testament books. Malachi, don't bring in your animals here. Even your governor won't take them. Don't give them to me. Isaiah, the same thing. Don't bring in tainted sacrifices here. Now here he's saying, don't even make an offering here, but go and make things right. After all that Jesus has done for you, dying on the cross, should you hold on to a grudge? No. Make things right first with your brother. Then come and make your offering. Then come and sow your gift. More on that when we get to the middle of chapter 6. Verse 27, in the topic of adultery, with the same outlook on it as all the other things we've just looked at. Verse 27. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, here it comes. He's going to floor them again with something that no one can keep. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Man, oh man. You know, I wonder how many people came back to the first church of the Nazarene the following Sunday. He probably cleaned house there. That's what John Hagee used to say, too. He said, if I ever had a real prophet that showed up here at my church, he would clean this house out in 15 minutes. And this church would be gone. There'd be no one left here the next week if he ever had a real prophet come in. Because a real prophet would put your sins up here on the overhead. He leaves it there. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. Not the Sunday sermon they were imagining, probably, right? If your right eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. Pluck it out. Cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than from your whole body to be cast into hell. They probably cringe the same way people cringe today when they hear the word hell. But Jesus taught and spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Get rid of it. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Maintaining an undefiled thought life demands strict self-discipline. Amen to that. Thus, Jesus taught that if any part of our body causes us to sin, it would be better to lose that part of your body during life rather than losing one's soul for all eternity. Are we to take Jesus' words literally? Was he actually advocating self-mutilation? The words are literal to this extent. If it were necessary to lose a part of your body rather than losing your soul, then we should gladly part with that member and part of our body. Fortunately, we don't have to do that, since the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a holy life. However, there must be cooperation and rigid discipline on your part. It's a two-way street. You still have to fight sin in your life to overcome this. Remember what God said to Cain? He said, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. This is an ongoing fight for you and I to beat the tar out of sin. She laughs. That's it. See this? This is my... I'm going to beat the tar out of sin.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook.